It is important these days that you know what it is you believe. Here at Daleville Christian Church, we share an affirmation of our faith taken directly from God's Word. Today's affirmation is from 1 John, the 4th chapter, the 9th and 10th verses. And this is what we believe. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The scripture reading for today is from 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, the 12th through the 19th verses. As the apostle finishes his letter to the church in the Greek community of Thessalonica. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His holy word. As your pastor, I am not going to tell you what to believe so much as I am sharing with you what I believe. Now, I would tell you in my own words, but my words aren't up to the task. The Bible's words are up to the task. And I will share with you how to be a healthier person, although some of those things you already know, right? Practice. Last week we talked about practicing forgiveness. Practice. Every coach in the world says that. Besides, you pay your doctor for that advice. How to be healthy? I'll let you know how to be healthy for free. As far as I know, you got in here for free today. You can listen to the message for free on the web. I'm sharing with you what has worked for me. I'm sharing with you what Jesus has taught me. And when I see that Jesus has taught me is there in the Bible, I'll share that. Now, I've never been a sermon title person. I have to have one for the website. And some pastors can be very clever in making their sermon titles. I'm not one of those pastors. And if I can't be clever with my sermon titles, then I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to put one up there. I came up with a sermon title for today's message, and it isn't clever either. I even thought it was a little misleading. The sermon title I came up with was this: Giving Thanks in Tough Times. The title to me sounds trite, even flippant, but it's not. It's serious theology. It's serious living. This is not Pollyannish. Pollyannish is a real word based on a character from the children's book of 1913. Pollyanna was an orphan who was determined to be cheerful and find something good no matter how adverse the situation, like being an orphan in 1913. But being Pollyannish now is a belittling and often insulting term for being absurdly optimistic and good-hearted, believing in a good world where everything works out for the best all the time. I would not do that, and I would not encourage that. Jesus taught us to pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, because this is in heaven, and God's will does not get done all the time down here on earth. So today's message isn't simple optimism. I spoke a few weeks ago about a favorite song of mine that says, I'm just a believer that things are going to get better. But I explained that my belief is based on Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ's promises to us and Jesus' New Year's plan, that's what I call it, Jesus' opening sermon, which was simply to quote the book of the prophet Isaiah to say that healing and light and newness is coming, and then Jesus said, oh, by the way, it starts today. Today is the day. I believe in Jesus, and I take Jesus at his word, the resurrected one who said, behold, I make all things new, is the one who will remake me, remake my life, remake my circumstances. Some call it possibility thinking, and to me, Jesus is the ultimate possibility thinker. Jesus saw a tax collector named Matthew, a man so hated, so despised, that every other local religious leader would not even talk to the man. Jesus walked up to this guy, and the Bible says Jesus saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. Goes on to say, while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. Jesus saw Matthew as disciple material. And now you and I read Matthew's book about this Jesus whom Matthew followed. Jesus was the ultimate possibility person because Jesus was God. What does God know about our situation that we don't know? Jesus knew what no other Pharisee or teacher knew about Matthew, that Matthew could be turned into a student of the Bible and a disciple of Jesus. I saw a church sign recently. Jesus paid the price, you get to keep the change. Get it? Keep the change. Matthew got to keep the change in himself. What did Jesus know about Matthew? What does our God know about us and about our circumstances? You can ask the Lord, you know. And with a little work, you might begin to discover what God knows about you and your situation. What's that other Bible verse we are fond of quoting from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. What did Jesus know about Matthew that Matthew didn't know about himself? What did Jesus know about me that I didn't know, that Jesus would call me as a pastor? I wasn't seeking to be a pastor. I was just sitting there praying, minding my own business. Jesus paid the price. You get to keep the change. This isn't simple optimism. This is a complex optimism. This is optimism of the brain, optimism of the soul. This is not the optimism of circumstances. You know that old joke, one Christmas, a little girl woke Christmas morning to find hay in her living room near the Christmas tree. The girl excitedly went to the hay, began digging into it, and her parents said, honey, what are you doing? And the girl said, with this much hay here, there must be a pony here somewhere. That is an optimism of circumstance. And the problem with that optimism is that sometimes a pile of hay is just a pile of hay. A pony or a cow may not show up to eat it. I guess there's an alternate ending to that joke. A cow shows up to eat the hay and the little girl's disappointed, but her brother gets all excited and says, oh boy, hamburger for a year. No, today we will talk about Jesus' possibilities. And because of Jesus' possibilities, we are going to be thankful. We are going to be grateful. Our reading today, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. The instructions to give thanks to the Lord occur in God's word about 35 times and shows Jesus giving thanks several times. I hinted at this idea several sermons back, and so today we are expanding on it. In that earlier sermon, I closed the sermon quoting from the book by Dr. Alex Korb, The Upward Spiral, using neuroscience to reverse the course of depression, page 152. It says, as discussed in chapter 3, some brains are wired to focus more on the negative, and that tendency gets even worse in depression. But there's a powerful force that directly combats negativity, and it's called gratitude. And that's a direct quote from the book. A book on neuroscience says, be thankful. God's word says, be thankful. Dr. Korb lists 7 benefits of being grateful, being thankful. He particularly suggests making a written Thanksgiving list and that people begin their day when they wake up with gratitude. You know, one of the instructions in the Bible to the tribe of Levi, those who served as priests in the tent of meeting and in the temple, said this, 1 Chronicles chapter 23, verse 30, they, that is, the tribe of Levi, were also to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord. That's what God's word said. But I repeat the caution I made when I preached that message. Here's a caution as we Americans tend to give thanks for what we have. Dr. Korb writes, you might not have a new vehicle, but some people don't have a vehicle at all. This may seem like the same thing as gratitude, but it's not. Comparing your fortunate circumstance to others less fortunate does not have the same benefits as gratitude. Gratitude is having appreciation for what is, your situation, who you are, where you are, in your condition with what you have. Envy is not only wrong because you want what someone else has. Envy is also a failure to appreciate what God has given you. Envy, which is wrong, is also a failure to appreciate what has been given to you or what has been entrusted to you. In the Bible, all the lepers are cleansed, but only one is shown praising God and giving thanks. But having said that, I will grant you there are times and places when it's difficult to feel grateful. But here's what Dr. Korb says. Once while at a Boy Scout camp, Dr. Korb says he saw an old scoutmaster heading down to the lake with a rod and reel to go fishing. A couple of hours later, as he was walking back, he asked the scoutmaster how the fishing was. Great, he responded. How many fish did you catch, I asked. I didn't catch anything, came the reply. But the old man added, it's called fishing. It's not called catching. Dr. Korb adds that you can't always find something to be grateful for, but just because you can't find it doesn't mean it's useless to look. The benefits come from not from finding gratitude that matters most, it's remembering to look for gratitude in the first place. Today we fine-tune our gratitude. We have to learn to be grateful if we want to do more than pay lip service for giving thanks to God. It requires learning and practice to give thanks to God in all circumstances. The Apostle Paul wrote, give thanks in all circumstances. That's today's Bible verse. But the Apostle also wrote, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. The apostle himself states it is a learning process. It doesn't happen overnight. Giving thanks to God in all circumstances is not a natural act. Giving thanks to God in all circumstances is a spiritual discipline, and it takes some training and practice. But Dr. Alex Korb says that even working on trying to be grateful is valuable, and I believe Dr. Korb because he's a very smart doctor. So how do we begin to give thanks in all circumstances as the apostle told us to do? Complex optimism. This is optimism of the brain, an optimism of the soul. This is not the optimism of circumstances. We want to train ourselves to have a more optimistic outlook so that we can give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances and really mean it. Optimism has to do with the way we think. And Jesus, the Bible, and modern psychology clearly state you and I can think differently than we think today. And thinking differently, thinking more optimistically, will allow you to be better, think better, and be more genuinely grateful than you might be right now in your circumstances. The key to this training is called reframing. Theologically, you might call it getting a God perspective. There's an old quote that says, "You plus God is a majority." Amen? Amen. You plus God is a majority. Let's check your reframing. What are a person's chances? Check that. What are a criminal's chances to return to the city of his crimes, change the social order of that city, change the economy of that city? The chances are not good, you are saying. Well, what if the criminal's name is Moses and he was expelled from Egypt, but God commissioned Moses to go back to Egypt to free Moses' people, the Israelites, from slavery? What are Moses' chances? Well, even Moses was not optimistic, but Moses was obedient. We've already talked about Matthew the tax collector. What are the chances a Jewish tax collector of the first century can be a first-rate evangelist, even an inspired evangelist for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Impossible, you say? Chances are unlikely, you say? Friends, it's time for us to use the Bible and God's perspective to reframe your circumstances so you can be grateful in all circumstances. Friends, I personally have this year benefited from new perspective, taking different look at what has happened to me and situations I found myself in. Remember, I'm the guy who said that he promised himself he would never live in Indiana, and he would never live in a small town in Indiana. Those are two things. Strike two. Well, I'm still working on reframing that, but thank God for the internet. And praise the Lord, I have Wi-Fi at my house and my church. Well, we'll go to something simpler than my life promises to myself. Let's start with something simple. I suffer from more than one chronic physical ailment. I inherited them. One of them I inherited is RLS, Restless Leg Syndrome. Some of you suffer from this same malady. I'd love to be healed of that. Some of you may already know, although it affects my legs, hence the name, Restless Leg Syndrome, it is considered a sleep disorder. It wrecks your sleep because the nerves in your legs will wake you up throughout the night. Even my 24-year-old niece suffers from this, and they told her she was too young to have it. Her legs convinced the doctors she also did inherit this malady. Apparently, Restless Leg Syndrome doesn't just run in my family. It gallops in my family. So how can I reframe this nasty condition? Well, I have medication that works. You see, those are two different points. There's medication, and there's medication that works. Most of you know not all medication does what it's supposed to do for you, some better, some less. So if I have to take a pill because of my restless legs, I wake up in the morning and say, thanks be to God for medicine that works. And if someday that medication stops working, there are other medications I can try. You see, I don't deny reality. I have RLS. I don't pretend it doesn't bother me. It can keep me from even laying down to sleep. I've had leg cramps I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. Ever had the bone in your leg feel like it wants to jump out of your leg? You've had that, right? That, my friends, will wake you up in the middle of the night. Thanks be to God, I have medication that works. I can still wake up after sleeping through the night giving thanks to God. A few years ago, I was diagnosed with low iron in my blood. Long story short is that it probably has to do with a hormone from my kidneys. All I have to do every day is make sure I take iron tablets. You know those one-a-day iron tablets? I have to take three of them every day. But that works for me. I don't have to have surgery. I don't have to have a new kidney. I don't have to take this. I don't have to have this kidney removed. I don't have to have kidney dialysis. I just have to take lots of iron tablets, and my blood iron levels are good. And what if I can't keep my iron levels up? I will feel so tired, I will have to go to bed, where my legs will keep me from sleeping. It's a great life, isn't it? But these conditions are easily remedied. I'm a historian. Most people hate to go to the dentist. I give thanks to God for modern dentistry. Whatever dental problems I've faced, modern dentistry can help most people and do so without too much discomfort. I'm convinced that most people throughout human history, from day one on until the 1920s, were pretty much in pain all the time, day and night, 24/7. Tooth pain or back pain or stomach pain or all three. Well, that's enough of my health report. But I share my life as a way to reframe my situation, to be more optimistic, more grateful for my situation, so I can give thanks in all circumstances. Let's take the situation of the church in the 21st century. Locally, the economy has not recovered from the Great Recession. Our population continues to drop. People are going to church less. Young people have new spending and giving habits that make ongoing church work difficult. On the local and national stage is addiction and immoral lifestyles. On the international stage is ISIS, persecution of the church, and killing of Christians. So, Pastor, how are you going to reframe that? Good question. I'm working on it. But it gives me the opportunity to talk about this optimism being realistic, not fanciful. For example, fewer people are a part of any church. You know what that means? That means that every person out there who has not been to church this year is potentially a new church member. Every person out there right now who's not in worship is potentially a new church member waiting to be brought in. That is reframing. Now, if you think that everyone out there has the potential to be a good church member, now you're being unrealistic. Not everyone out there has the potential to be a good church member. Let's not confuse bad statistics and real optimism. Statistics looked at this way are in our favor. And there are tons of methods we have not tried yet to reach people for Jesus. Let us try another reframing. And I'm working to share this with you in writing. We do have fewer people here in worship than we had a few years ago. However, we have a better facility. We have better grounds. We have better teaching. And I recently discovered that if we look at the amount of money the church had in the bank when I first came here, we have more money in the bank now than we had way back then. And I use three different inflation calculators, and they all say the same thing. We have about five times as much money in the bank as we had 30 years ago when we had more people and more population. Now, that does not eliminate our problems. That doesn't eliminate our mission. The mission of Jesus remains, but it does reframe the mission. Daleville Christian Church can go forth to Jesus' mission in strength, not weakness. We can be grateful for our circumstances. Be grateful to Jesus Christ in all our circumstances. One other way to reframe our circumstances is to say this. Since Midwesterners focus way too much on money, money is really the least of our problems right now. Money is the least of Daleville Christian Church's problems. We don't have to focus on money right now. We can focus on reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let me give you a practical assignment. You don't have to guess what to do when you leave church this week. I'll tell you. Actually, I'll give you two choices for gratitude. First of all, when today is over, not when you're finished hearing the message, not after worship, when today is over, write down three good things that happened today. Then do it again tomorrow. And the next day. All week. That's one option, and I highly recommend it. I think I told you, I've been waking up and making a list of things I'm grateful for. Number two, here's a second gratitude choice. Express gratitude to those who have made a positive difference in your life. You might begin with the top five positive impact people in your life. If perhaps they are all gone, a number of you are older. If perhaps those people are gone, go on to the next five. Write down exactly how and why they made a positive impact on you. Then write to them, call them, Facebook message them, email them. Communicate to this person or persons this exercise. Tell them how you made your pastor told you to do it and that you are doing it and you're not sure but you think it has something to do with Jesus. Oh, right. It's the 30-plus times the Bible says, give thanks. That's what you're working on. Okay, two choices this week. Just do it. I heard a speaker this week who said he guaranteed that you would feel better by doing this exercise. He guaranteed it. Now, I'm not that speaker. I read the Bible. I quoted it to you. But I'll start the ball rolling and say, you are a great congregation. And you have helped me, and you have supported me and my family for over 30 years. I'm grateful for that. May our Lord continue to bless you. Amen.